Grace be to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I read the lesson for you today, Psalm 84, oftentimes when pastors study the lesson to present to the people, you just simply are not able to talk about everything that there is in the lesson. So I thought before I would read it, I would just share with you a couple things that got left on the cutting room floor, as they say. A few things that people wonder about, a few things that you might not have noticed just by hearing the lesson. So, two things. First of all, in verses 4 and 5 and the very last verse, the psalmist says, blessed is the one, or happy, you can also translate it happy. Happy or blessed is the one who. So three times, happy is the one who does these things or is this way. And each time, it's a little bit more intensified as you go along. So the first time, blessed is the one who hangs around in the courts of the Lord. It was in God's house. A wistful wish that he would be there with God's people worshiping. The second one, it was blessed is the one who finds their strength in the Lord. That was a determination on his, it escalates, a determination to get to God's house, to worship with God's people. And the last one in the last verse, blessed is the one who is a comfort to him. He finally finds this peace and comfort knowing that everything is going to be okay. God will take care of him. Another thing, a phrase that you might not understand, it's in verse 7. It says they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. People are, what does that mean? Go strength to strength before you stand before the Lord in Zion. That's the psalmist's way of saying God will make you stronger as you go. So through his word, through sacraments, he'll build you up, even during the most difficult times of your life, he'll build you up so you're stronger as you go, so that you are ready to meet the Lord in Zion. Those are things we're not going to talk about today. How about that? Now, Psalm 84, as it's printed, you can follow along. For the director of music, according to Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Here ends our lesson. Dear friends in Christ, so as I mentioned today, we continue with that series on the Psalms as we make our way through this season of end times where we talk about Jesus coming back at the end of the world, and we take a little closer look then at Psalm 84. And if Psalms are songs that God's people oftentimes used in the Old Testament in worship, then today the psalmist began by singing the blues. He was not too happy, a little bit of sorrow in his heart. You know why? Interestingly enough, it wouldn't be for the typical things. He wasn't so down and out that he didn't have enough money to get along, or that his health was failing, or that he needed a better job or something like that. Do you know what really had him down? He wasn't able to go to church. He wasn't able to join God's people in God's house in worship. Like he knew that all around the nation of Israel, people were coming on their pilgrimage to go home to God's house in Jerusalem. Three times a year, they were supposed to go home to worship there. And for whatever reason, he was unable to go. So he began the psalm today by describing this intense longing that he had for God's house. It went something like this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. His longing for God's house was very intense. He said, oh, my soul is just welling up to the point I practically can't even stand it anymore. I'm about ready to burst. My soul just longs to be in the courts of the living God. It was consuming him on the inside to be there in the temple, in God's house. Literally, you know what he said in the original text? He said that he had a deep, intense longing of love for God's house. A deep, intense longing of love for God's house. It actually made him turn pale, and it was just consuming him on the inside. Did you notice? He even said he was jealous of the birds around Jerusalem. Jealous of the birds. He said, you know, the birds, it seems, have a lot more access to the temple than I do. Birds can come and go around the Jerusalem area. They can come and go around the temple area. Birds can even make nests in the temple area for their young. What have I got? I got nothing. I can't even go. The birds have it better off than I do. So not fair. As you listen to this psalmist tell his story and give you his intense longing and yearning to be in God's house with God's people, does it make you feel embarrassed when you compare his attitude to ours? Do people describe you the same way as the psalmist is in the lesson? The people who know you and hang around you during the week, do they say, oh yeah, you have this deep, intense longing of love for God's house? Oh, it's so obvious all the time. When the pandemic began back in March and April, and we were all sheltering at home, remember that? And we were watching all of our worship services online. Were you fielding phone calls from the neighbors because you were singing so loud, you were sort of annoying the people around you? It just sort of spilled out of your heart. You had to sing out at the top of your lungs. You were so excited to be worshiping the Lord. Are you one of those people where your friends are forever saying, all right, already, we get it. It seems that's all, we get it. You love being in church. You love going to church. It's your favorite thing. It seems like it's all you ever talk about. We get it already. Or could people describe you a different way? Are you the kind of person that would watch our worship service online and you watch for about the first 5 minutes and then you fast forward through the rest of the parts, the things you kind of sort of really wanted to see, and then you can log off and you're done? Are you the kind of person that when you do make it to God's house, you become dissatisfied in your heart because the music seems a little too slow, the preacher is rather uninspiring that day, and quite frankly, the whole thing takes too long anyway? So that worship for you becomes something to be endured in God's house rather than something that you yearn for and long for. So often, too much of the time, our half-hearted worship betrays the sinful heart inside each one of us, right? My sinful heart that is so arrogant and so selfish that I love myself more than I love giving honor and reverence and zeal for the Lord, for his house. That's the way your sinful nature works. That's the way mine works too. Did you notice, though, what exactly the psalmist was yearning for? What exactly he was longing for? Remember what he said? He said, my heart and my flesh, they long for to be in the courts of the living God. For the psalmist, it wasn't about the beautiful gold furniture around the temple, the furnishings, the beauty of the temple. It wasn't about the number of people that were there. It wasn't about the dynamics of the priest and his message that day. For the psalmist, coming to God's house, that was all about a yearning to be in the presence, in the courts of the living God, the God who had given life to everyone and everything, the God who had given him life, spiritual life, in his very own heart, so that he had faith in the one true God. A God like that deserved to have his honor and his praise and his reverence all the time. God's house? God's house was an outward symbol of the presence of God among his people. A God who had many times proclaimed his grace and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness in his temple courts, many times for he and his friends to hear. He longed for the opportunity. He longed for his next chance to be in God's house with his fellow Israelites, to give thanks and honor and praise to the Almighty, living, merciful God, just for who he was, honored to be there in his house. He longed for that next opportunity to do that. And so do we. So do we. We still have lots and lots of members at Crown of Life who are sheltering at home because this pandemic continues to drag on. And yet, many of these members who are still sheltering at home, they'll call the pastors, they'll email the pastors, and they will say, "We still long to be there with you in God's house. We miss it. We miss the people. We miss the worshiping. We just miss everything about it." Not surprising, is it? We long to be here in this place. Not because of the beauty of the facility or the number of people or the dynamics of the preacher or lack thereof. We long to be here because we want to be with God's people in the courts of the living God, the God who made each one of us, who made everyone and everything, the one who gave us spiritual life in our hearts too, the one who actually saved us for all eternity. A God like that deserves to have our thanks and our honor and our praise. And so we long to be here with God's people because we know this is the outward symbol of God's presence among his people. And we want to gather with each other to give him the thanks and the praise and the honor and the glory just for who he is and the chance to do that together. We long for those opportunities to do that very thing. But you know, as intense as the longing was for the psalmist to be in God's house, what excited him just as much was the blessings that you receive once you actually are in God's house. Many of the same blessings that we receive even now, today. Many of you have told me through the years that Crown of Life is like home to you. It's just like coming home. You tell me, like, my kids were baptized here, I was married here, I was confirmed here, and God willing, I'm going to be buried here too. As nice as that is, we still recognize that the joy that we get from coming to God's house, it's not tied up so much in a building or an event or, like I say, the dynamics of the one who's preaching or teaching that day. Worship here is special because what happens here is God's word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, and God's sacraments are administered according to Christ's command. In other words, God gives us joy and happiness in his house because God's love and his forgiveness for us is consistently proclaimed here. And we can all hear that together as a group of God's people. This is the place, isn't it? Every time we come, our joy is renewed because we hear all over again that God still loves us. He still loves us despite all of our sins, despite our half-hearted worship sometimes. He still loves us and accepts us in Jesus Christ. This is the place, isn't it? We get to come here all the time, and you hear about this debt of sin of ours that's completely forgiven. God expects nothing in return. He simply forgave our sins in Christ. They're all gone. It all centers around that message about Jesus, doesn't it? Even if you think about the things that are sentimentally meaningful to you that happened here, it still centers around the message, doesn't it? Yes, maybe you were married here, but you weren't just married here, were you? This is the place where God promised that he would love and forgive you even for the mistakes that you made as a husband and a wife, where you stood before God's altar and he promised his blessing on you. You weren't just confirmed a crown of life, were you? It's the place where you acknowledged and pledged your faithfulness to the Lord because he forgave you and he gave you his precious word, and that's the same thing you've been studying and hearing about for your whole life, as long as you have been at Crown of Life. Your kids weren't just baptized here, were they? It's the place where you brought them to the font and God washed all of their sins away. They are gone for good. They're never coming back because he attached a promise to the water and the word. This is the place, isn't it? It's the place where today, again, God comes to us as a group and he invites us up to his table where he assures us again that things are okay between us and him. He assures us we're still a part of his family. Things are good. Because we get to partake of the very body and blood that paid for all of our sins. This is the place, isn't it? Everything centers around a message. Everything's tied to one thing. This message about Jesus Christ and his love for us, his forgiveness that he won for us, as we proclaim it in the Word of God, and you receive it as well in the sacraments. Is it any wonder then that the psalmist said, you know, give me the choice. If you gave me the choice, I would rather spend one day in God's house hearing about his love for me and his forgiveness for me and my chance to praise him for that than to spend 1,000 days elsewhere where I can have a grand old time apart from the Lord and his word. Give me the day in his courts every single time. Or as he put it another way, I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house. And by the way, doorkeeper in the Old Testament, that was the lowest position you could have in the temple. I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than hang around with the wicked all day long, buying into this world is the only thing that matters mentality. The psalmist understood it. He got it, didn't he? To be the lowest of the low in God's kingdom, to be the least in God's kingdom, that was far better than anything else that the world could ever offer you. The spiritual support that he would receive in God's house from God's own word, from God's own people, that was far better than anything, the very, very best that the rest of the world could ever offer him. You know what that means? That means that God's house back then and God's house now is a special place. It's a special place because of what goes on here and the spiritual support that you receive here from the Lord himself. But you know, there's still one thing to consider. If you would have asked the psalmist, I'm sure he would have said, you know what, for me, coming to church, it's like a little slice of heaven. It's just a little slice of heaven for me. And you know, he wouldn't be necessarily wrong in saying that. In fact, in a very real sense, he's right. You know, many of the things that we do here together in worship, when we come together in God's house, it's a mirror of what goes on in heaven all the time. Think about that for a moment. When we come to worship, what do? We come and we sing our praises to the Lord, don't we? Just like the angels in heaven are recorded as doing in Revelation chapter 15, around the throne of God. And when we come to worship, what do? We tell the Lord in word and prayer how wonderful he is for sending a Savior to save the world from their sins, right? Just like the believers are recorded as doing in Revelation chapter 19. These are not isolated incidents. These are things that happen all the time as we speak in a perfect existence in heaven itself with those who are there. Could it be that God gives us a special joy here in his house whenever we come together for worship? Because when we are allowed to express our thanks and our praise and our joy in word and prayer and song together, it really is a foreshadowing of what's going to be going on in heaven. And maybe just a little slice, a very tiny slice of the joy that we're going to have in heaven someday. How appropriate then that we're talking about these things on a Saints Triumphant weekend. You know, this is a special place. It really is a special place, not because of the beauty of the facility or the number of people that are here or the dynamics or whoever's preaching up in the front. This is a special place because it's a place that we long to be at. We yearn to be here, and we treasure this place because this is the outward symbol of the presence of our living God, who deserves to have our praise. We want to give him our praise. And even on top of that, this is the place where God so freely gives spiritual blessings. Because that message about Jesus Christ and his love and his forgiveness for every one of us, it's proclaimed in God's word and received in the sacraments too. I hope and pray that every time you come here to God's house, and we worship together, that it really is a little slice of heaven for you. A little slice of heaven until that day comes when we can join all the saints triumphant and give a full, perfect worship together in heaven forever. May that day come soon. Amen.